This is James from SurroundPunk.com.
And this is Mike.
Broadcasting.
From this week, from an undisclosed location.
Deep underground.
Where they'll never look.
In the Survival Punk Bunker.
Yes. This week is our legendary, long-awaited tinfoil hat episode, where we discuss all the things the government does not want you to know about.
You need this episode to prevent a giant cloud of death from coming to get you!
Well, how have you been doing this week?
Excellent. I've been doing excellent. And getting my butt kicked at the CrossFit gym. So I have a funny news story that I saw the other day and I wanted to share with you.
Oh, please do.
So, the New York Police Department thought it would be a great idea if people started tagging them on social media, Twitter and Facebook and stuff.
Oh, Jesus.
With hashtag mynypd.com.
Oh, my God.
To which everyone in the Liberty Movement jumped on quickly and tagged them in, like, police beatings. Police beatings and recordings and stuff. So
of course they did.
I can only imagine the hashtag has been abandoned by the New York Police Department and is only being used now to mock them.
Well, you know, hashtags are only one more way that the government can keep track of everything you think and say.
I'm sure the NSA knows all of your hashtags with their giant security room.
Hashtag illegal wiretap.
Hold on, you know about their giant warehouse where the NSA collects like trillions of data of like phone calls and all that stuff?
Of course I do.
Do you know that two interesting things about it. It's burned down like several times now because it keeps overheating and catching on fire.
But that's what they want you to think.
No, really it has. Oh, and the state that it's in, which I think is Utah is where it's at. They've thought about screwing them over and turning off the water running to the building so they can't cool their computers because they don't want it there. I'm like, that's a great idea. Way to go, Utah.
Oh my God. Cutting off the water supply.
Yeah, I mean, then the building just burned down because it requires so much water to cool the computers.
Oh good Lord. That's insane.
Awesome.
It's insane. Needs to happen, but it's insane. Oh my God!
So what do we have coming up this week to keep our listeners safe?
Well,
from demand.
If you want to keep yourself safe, if you want to keep your finances safe, I recommend not investing. I recommend investing in gold and silver.
Yes.
And you know where a great place to get your gold and silver is?
JMBullion.com. Because when the apocalypse comes, your dollars, your greenbacks, your Federal Reserve notes won't mean nothing. You will need gold and silver.
You want your value staying the same, not rising and falling at the whims of a government that does not love you.
So go to SurvivalPunk.com, click on the banner in the right-hand margin, and buy from JM Bullion so you do not come a casualty during the apocalypse.
Right. And now it's time for our first news story of this week. Russia will respond. What are they responding to, James?
All right. This, as all news stories this week, pretty much come from Alex Jones's Infowars.com, the only news site you can trust that has not been tampered with by the government.
Or so they think.
So the story here says, Sergei Lavrov, the Russian former foreign minister, warned during an interview with Russia Today, good news site, his government will not send alibi as the Juanita in Kiev attacks opposition.
That's the junta, not Juanita!
It's Juanita to me. In Kiev attacks the opposition in eastern Ukraine. If we are attacked, we would certainly respond, Lavrov said. In our interests, of our legitimate interests, the interest, that's a lot of interest.
This is very interesting.
Yes, the Russians have been attacked directly, like they were in South Ossetia. For example, I do not see any other way to respond in accordance with international law. You read the next paragraph there.
During the interview, Lavrov characterized the junta's use of
Juanita.
The use of forces against activists in eastern Ukraine as criminal. He accused the coup government of violating the Geneva Agreement. In Geneva, we agreed there must be an end to all violence.
Like an old country?
Like an old country. Next afternoon, interim Ukraine President Alexander Turchynov declared almost a state of emergency and ordered the army to shoot at the people, he said. South Ossetia declared independence from Georgia.
Georgia? Not that Georgia.
Oh. In 1990.
The country.
Which resulted in three wars. During the third conflict in 2008, Russia responded after Georgia amassed a large number of troops and equipped in the enclave and shelled villages. Prior to the conflict, both the United States and Russia conducted war games in the region. God, that's, maybe that's what happened to Atlanta.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I've heard that we're conducting military exercises in Poland right now.
Why would we be conducting military exercises in Poland?
I think we're getting ready to attack Russia.
I would not want to be part of the Polish military. For one thing, all their submarines have screen doors. Their helicopters have ejector seats.
Oh my god, something about their horses too, right?
And all their flashlights are solar powered.
Yeah, they only work at daytime. I think the mainstream media is trying to push the whole Ukraine-Russian thing on the back burner now, and I think it's still heating up. Like, Russia went into...
No, everything's fine. Nothing's happening in the Ukraine.
Russia just went over and took a part of the Ukraine over.
It was a company picnic.
Basically, they went in...
They played Frisbee. They had barbecue. It was a good time.
Okay, I don't really like politics a whole lot, and I think the presidents are nothing more than a puppet, to be honest. We're going to pause, because we've got drones coming at us right now.
And we're back from a brief stint in Guantanamo Bay.
Yes. The man can't keep a good man down. The man. Anyway.
The man.
So, yeah, I'm still kind of paranoid there. Things are still going on. I've heard reports of, like, honestly, I think some of us here in, like, the survival community should start sending, like, we should start arming the peasants there. Like, we should send over, like, $100 Mosin-Nagants and, like, fund their revolution.
You want us to fund the Ukrainian revolution?
Yeah. We should do a Kickstarter for it. We should have a revolution Kickstarter to like raise money to send them armaments and maybe hire some mercenaries for there.
Just letting everybody know, if now next week's episode, the first 10 minutes is a complete retraction of everything we've said, just know the Black Hats got to us.
No, really, I want to send guns to the Ukraine.
Oh dear God.
Maybe I'll go over there and practice fighting. So I have preparations for when our government goes even crazier. And
you know, your mother's going to get another call, and this time she's going to think it's a joke, and it won't be.
I should have mentioned that. Anyway, what do we got next?
Agenda 21.
Oh, yeah. Agenda 21, the BLM land-grabbing endgame.
What he said.
Why is the federal government so obsessed with grabbing more land? After all, the federal government already owns more than 40% of the land in 9 different U.S. states. Why? The federal bureaucrats so determined to grab even more. Well, the truth is this all becomes much clearer once you understand that there is a very twisted philosophy behind what they are doing. It is commonly known as Agenda 21. Although the name and labels are used for this particular philosophy, basically, those that hold to this form of radical environmentalism believe that humanity is utterly destroying the planet, and therefore, the goal should be to create a world where, literally, everything that we do is tightly monitored and controlled by control-freak bureaucrats in the name of sustainable development.
Even more than it already is?
Even more.
Oh my God.
That, actually, a lot of people tend to think the Agenda 21 might as well be 1984 incarnate.
I wish you'd put a piece of tape over your camera port there.
Yeah. In their vision for the future, the human population will be greatly reduced and human activity will be limited to strictly regulated urban areas and travel corridors. The rest of the planet will be left to nature. To achieve this goal, a massive transfer of land from private land or owners to the federal government will be necessary. Blah, 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 which brought up this article here is about Clive and Bundy and the BLM, just the tip of the iceberg. So, yeah, I mean...
There's something about a Bundy and an iceberg in there?
Clive and Bundy, we talked about him last week with the Bundy Ranch in Nevada.
Yes, we did.
They're trying to After the recent Bundy Ranch episode, the U.S. Bureau of Land Management, Texans are becoming more concerned about the BLM's focus on the 90,000 acres along a 116-mile stretch of the Texas-Oklahoma boundary. The BLM is reviewing for possible federal land takeover. So, maybe they're escalating their endgame to gain control and force us into cities where they can control us and not let us live free on acres of land.
You mean they're wanting to round us all into one area where we can be controlled and monitored?
Yes, and probably like the movie WALL-E, if you haven't seen it. Make us all fat and bloated drinking sodas and have robots scratch our butts.
I was thinking more of the Native Americans in the Trail of Tears. Or even the Nazi concentration camps.
I don't think they'd give us the freedom to, like, have our own rules, sovereign nation, and open casinos, though.
We're gonna do it anyway.
Gin houses.
Yeah.
Survival Punk will be opening a gin house soon.
Yes, a gin mill. Okay, right. Moving right along. It's time for our first conspiracy sponsor this week, Bunkers.com. Where are you gonna hide from the government? Bunkers.com.
Who's gonna keep you safe from the government?
Bunkers.com. What you really need is a place, a panic room. Not even a panic room, something deeper, something darker. Some place where you can get in, where they can't get in.
Where their drones can't blow you up when you're having a picnic with your kids.
Where you're completely powered by nature's own miracles of water, of hydroelectric power plants and solar energy and everything renewable, all within the safety of a concrete bunker 40 feet underground. Where can you find your bunkers?
Bunkers.com, of course. Unless this podcast's massive audience crashes their servers and you can't get to their website.
Which may very well happen.
Correct.
Bunkers.com.
30 listeners, can't be wrong.
Okay, it's time for our nutrition conspiracies of this week.
All right. So, you do know that fluoride is a toxin that kills you, right?
Absolutely. That's why I have not brushed my teeth in 20 years.
Awesome. So, I've heard some good conspiracies that the Nazis, and everyone loves the Nazis, right?
Oh, yeah.
They started using fluoride in their water supply to dumb down and make their populace more controllable.
More docile.
More
like
docile.
Buddhist cows.
So, reading from the Wikipedia, the water fluoridization controversy arises from political, moral, and ethical and safety concerns regarding the fluoridization of public water supplies. The controversy occurs mainly in English-speaking countries such as continental Europe. Continental Europe has ceased water fluoridization. Good thing to my friends across the pond. Those opposed argue that water fluoridization may cause serious health problems, is not effective enough to justify the cost, has a dosage, and cannot be precisely controlled. In some countries, fluoride is added to table salt.
Table salt?
Yeah. Basically, we get most of our fluoride from, like, it's a waste chemical from China. And we pay them to take their waste chemical that they'd have to spend money to destroy, to dispose of properly.
And put it on our toothpaste?
It's like me paying you for your poop. Hey, Mike, I want you to poop in this bag and I'll buy it. Would you not say yes? Like, Mike, I'm gonna give you $100 for every bag of poop you give me.
Well, hell, yeah, I'll get right on that.
Yeah, and then I'm pouring that poop into people's water supply.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And it has a lot of other serious, serious health effects.
Doesn't the government do that anyway? Pour poop into water supplies?
Yeah. The reason it's put in there is to try to keep your teeth healthy. But it's like...
How does it get
a cut, and instead of putting Neosporin on it, you drink it. That's not going to do anything. You've got to put it on your teeth.
Oh,
drinking it is not going to do anything.
Good God.
Fluoridization has little effect on risk of bone fracture. It may slightly result in fracture. A Finnish study published in 1997 showed that the fear that water fluoridization may have psychological effects was slightly fluoridated.
As you can see, the fluoride's already gotten to my co-host.
Yeah.
He can't even form complete sentences.
In rare cases, improper implementation of water fluoride can result in overfluoridization that causes outbreaks of acute fluoride poisoning, with symptoms that include nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. Isn't that what... I mean, that's what we're getting our clean water from, is prevent that from dirty water.
Exactly.
Kind of interesting. Let's see. Three such outbreaks reported in the U.S. in 1991 and 1998, caused by fluoride concentrations as high as 220 milligrams per liter. 1992, some more people got it. This Wikipedia article isn't even implementing some of the things that it can affect children's learning centers when they're growing up, and some all sorts of things. This article is terrible.
Oh my god.
Conspiracy theories. Here's the good part. Water fluoridization has frequently been the subject of conspiracy theories. During the Red Scare, whatever that is, in the United States during the 19... Oh, communists. Damn commies. During the Red Scare in the United States during the late 1940s and 1950s, and to a lesser extent the 1960s, activists on the far right of the American politics routinely asserted that fluoridization was a part of the far-reaching plot to impose a socialist or communist regime. They opposed other public health programs, notably mass vaccinations, with good cause, and mental health services. Their views were influenced by opposition to a number of major social and political changes that had happened in the recent years, and growth in international, and particularly in the UN, and the programs, introduction of social welfare provisions, blah. So what is it doing, people? So basically,
this article is a conspiracy to dumb down your brain by having too much to read.
Yes. It's a commie plot. The commies obviously have control of this article.
Of course they do. It's on Wikipedia. You know, Wikipedia is controlled by the communists.
Those damn commies.
Exactly. And you have fallen right into their red trap.
Well, I'm getting the hell out of it.
All right.
The window is closed.
And speaking of Wikipedia, or communism, or anything in the world, or nutrition, it is time to talk about this worldwide nutrition conspiracy theory that you wanted to discuss.
Which I will let you take over and read a little bit.
Excellent. Let's see. Wow! Are you ready to read about the nutritional conspiracy theory that tops all other conspiracy theories? I would like to preface by noting that I have no skin in this game. I don't receive any money from any of the actors or accusers in this drama. I also don't really have an opinion one way or another. Yes, I use organic vegetables when they are easily accessible and reasonably priced, but if organic celery costs twice as much for one half the celery, I usually buy the non-organic. I carefully rinse my veggies, but I don't use vinegar or one of those special spray washes to clean them. Considering I eat 10 to 12 servings of veggies a day, I should probably do more?
Sure, great writing.
But that's not the point here. I simply want my readers to know that I am not pushing what I consider to be a pretty wild theory, at least in the sense that I'm not sure, even if some of it's true, that it will hurt me much, or that I can do much about it. Anyway, raw food diet guru and advocate Dr. Joseph Mercola is at it again, this time accusing Monsanto makers of Roundup agricultural herbicide of a worldwide conspiracy to hide proof that its product causes cancer and other health problems. Toss in accusations of genetically engineered food, cover up, and you have one big mess.
Dun dun dun.
Toss in accusations, but you repeated yourself, you bastard.
Wow, what a horrible article.
There is so much evidence.
Even I write better than this.
There is so much evidence included in this report, I didn't want to censor it. Come to your own conclusions. If nothing else, maybe...
Wait, this is just the fucking follow-up to the... I mean, this is the intro to the article. You gotta click on the article.
I think this is a sales plot.
Oh my god, it's a plot!
We uncovered a plot in our conspiracy episode!
Oh my god, we're trapped. There's no way out.
I'm sure the commies are behind this as well.
I am so glad I'm wearing this hat.
But there is a really good video on YouTube of mice being fed genetically engineered corn and developing like horrible like cancer and dying quickly. So I mean, that's a second. I quit eating corn because of that.
Oh, dear Jesus, sweet hell God.
Sweet baby Jesus.
What he said.
So let's get away from this commie side as well.
We might as well just delve right into the meat of this episode and move on to our main topic, the top 10 government conspiracy theories. I have a feeling we've accidentally been part of them tonight. What have we got going on here? What have we got going on?
Okay, we're going to count down the top 10 conspiracy theories.
Number 10, subliminal advertising.
advertising. Can subliminal advertising make you purchase a product? According to HowStuffWorks.com, a subliminal message, meaning below Lyman or our conscious perception threshold, is a message embedded into images or sound meant to penetrate into our subconscious and influence our behavior. The term was coined in 1957.
Fucking shit. I don't even know where to start.
Right, we're on 56.
According to HowStuffWorks.com, a subliminal message, meaning below Lyman or our conscious perception threshold, is a message embedded into images or sound meant to penetrate into our subconscious and influence our behavior. The term was coined in 1957 by James Vickery, a market researcher who inserted messages into a movie that was showcased in a New Jersey theater. The carefully hidden message instructed moviegoers to drink Coca-Cola and eat popcorn. The use of subliminal advertising purportedly increased in the following years, and in 1973, author Wilson Brian Key wrote a controversial book about the subject. The following year, the Federal Communications Commission launched an investigation during which the determinant subliminal advertising was intended to be deceptive. Following a series of hearings, the FCC banned the use of subliminal advertising. Today, experts continue to disagree on how effective subliminal messages are. Several independent studies have been conducted, perhaps the most famous of which was done by a Canadian TV station, which flashed the message, "Call now!" to viewers during a broadcast. According to the station, the message had no effect on their viewers.
I'm pretty sure this study was fake to throw us off that subliminal messages are really out there.
Of course it is. That article there was full of subliminal messages.
Yeah, and that's why it's dumbing down the population, watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Oh, I hate the Kardashians. I'm pretty sure they're a commie plot.
Number 9, electronic banking. According to some conspiracy theorists, virtual money, credit cards, and debit cards was created by a secret group that plans to dominate the world. The plan, according to theorists, is to completely eliminate paper and coin currency so that citizens can rely solely on electronic banking. Once that goal is achieved, the secret group will cause a worldwide electronic blackout, which will simultaneously erase everyone's bank account information. Thus creating chaos and panic.
And flatulence.
The alleged motivation behind this plot is the reintroduction of slavery into the modern world. The benefactors vary, depending on which theory you subscribe to. Again, this is another theory that experts refuse to waste their time acknowledging or debunking. Because it's true.
Number 8. Chemtrails. Certainly, you've noticed the white trail in the sky that is left behind by high-flying jets. Odds are you would be hard-pressed not to see one whenever you look up on a clear day. So what exactly is that trail? According to conspiracy theorists, it is a cocktail of chemicals and biological agents that are being deliberately sprayed for, depending on which theory you subscribe to, population control, weather control, and bio-warfare. The trails have resulted in thousands of complaints to both the U.S. and Canadian governments. Both countries deny any wrongdoing. Investigations have been launched by numerous scientific communities, all of whom found no factual evidence to support the conspiracy theories. Instead, they claim the white trail is actually a condensation trail, contrail, that is the result of normal emissions from the aircraft images exhaust. Regardless of the explanations, chemtrail conspiracy theories continue to persist on the internet. If you try to pin these people down and refute things, it's, well, you're just part of the conspiracy, NASA scientist Patrick Minnis said in a recent interview with the USA Today.
Obviously, people that debunk these things are commies.
Exactly. Exactly.
Number 7. Alien reptiles.
Damn it, you're getting all the good ones, man.
Chances are you've heard of theories regarding the death of Diana, Princess of Wales. However, you may have heard the most recent claims regarding the royal family's alleged shape-shifting abilities. According to Christine Fitzgerald, a former confidant of Diana, the princess once told her that the royal family was made up of reptilian aliens from a faraway galaxy. Similarly, BBC reporter David Icke believes that humanity is under control of alien reptiles. In an article titled The Reptilian Connection, he writes, "These gods could not take over the planet openly because there are not enough of them, so they are doing it covertly by appearing humans." Movies like They Live, The Arrival, the first, not the sequel, and the U.S. television series V tell the story of what is really going on. I urge you to think about watching these movies to get up to speed if you're new to this.
I always knew that V was, in fact, a documentary.
Yes. You might find Ick's views a bit skewed. However, he has managed to garner a large following in recent years and continues to give solid shout to give
sold-out speaking engagements
around the world. Interesting enough, there are several websites devoted to alien reptiles on behalf that some of us are extraterrestrial beings. One site in particular, AboveTopSecret.com, I think I used to go to that back in high school, even provides a step-by-step guide for determining if or not, if you are not of this planet. Indicators include the feeling that you don't belong here on this planet, the possession of supernatural abilities, including telepathy, clairvoyance, clairsentience, super empathy. Experts have refused to recognize or attempt to debunk this. So I first heard about this guy, I guess David Icke, from my ex-girlfriend Heather, who is huge into conspiracies as well.
Makes sense that she now works for the government. They got to her.
They got to her. She's actually trying to bring them down from the inside. Oh!
Number six. Oh, I'm glad I got this one. The Bermuda Triangle. Is there a mysterious force that causes ships and planes to disappear in the Bermuda Triangle, or is this just another far-fetched theory? Located in the western part of the North Atlantic Ocean, the Bermuda Triangle, also known as the Devil's Triangle, covers roughly 500,000 square miles of the ocean, with apexes in Bermuda, Florida, and Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
There is no mistaking that a large number of vessels have gone missing in the area. However, the explanations for those disappearances is where the conspiracies come into play. According to theorists, supernatural elements are responsible for the disappearances. Some say extraterrestrial beings are to blame, while others point to the mythical lost continent of Atlantis. Adding more mystique to the incidents are reported compass variations in which compasses will point to true north rather than magnetic north. The U.S. Coast Guard and other experts familiar with the triangle discount supernatural elements as being responsible. Instead, they point to the fact that the triangle is situated in a heavily traveled area of the ocean. They say that the number of incidents that occur there are no greater than those that occur in other parts of the ocean. They feel that any number of the natural occurrences, including tropical storms and rogue waves, could be responsible. They also point to the possibility of pirates and mechanical failures. In regards to the compass problems, experts say there are no unusual magnetic anomalies in the area and cite the fact that the compasses have natural magnetic variations. Regardless of whom you believe, one thing remains certain. The Bermuda Triangle will undoubtedly continue to remain a source of mystery and intrigue.
Yeah, that's what they want you to think. They just want you to think it's a natural phenomenon. I saw a documentary about this one pilot who managed to make it all the way from Bermuda to Miami in 10 minutes because he accidentally slipped through a vortex in the triangle.
Yeah, growing up, the Bermuda Triangle was always one of my favorite conspiracy theories.
Absolutely.
I loved it. Everything, like, growing up, there was always David Copperfield specials. I remember the one where he went into the Bermuda Triangle and I think tried to pull up other vessels or some sort of illusion, but I've watched, like, every documentary you could find on the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, I remember he made the Statue of Liberty disappear, he walked through the Great Wall of China, broke out of Alcatraz.
Yeah, now he's washed up.
Well, it's not that he's washed up.
He made his own career disappear.
Yeah, pretty much. He got kind of sued because he's kind of a perv.
No, well.
My mom wanted him bad.
Yeah, I see.
We actually got to go to one of his shows, and he walked right down our aisle of seats. She almost pulled him down into her lap.
Bet he wouldn't have complained.
Right in front of my dad.
Number five. Moon landing.
Oh, the one thing that tumps the triangle.
According to conspiracy theorists, the moon landing that the world watched unfold live on July 20th, 1969, was a hoax orchestrated by NASA and other key organizations. Theorists believe that the surface Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walked upon was not a celestial body, but a man-made soundstage.
Proponents, San Bernardino, California.
I thought it was Area 51.
Dun, dun, dun.
Proponents of the conspiracy theory insist that the technology of the time was not sufficient enough to pull off such a feat.
They claim
that environmental obstacles alone, cosmic rays, radiation belts, and solar wind would have made the trip impossible.
And it would have.
As evidence of their belief, theorists point to photographs and the video that were taken during the mission, which claim that several oddities include inconsistent shadows, identical backgrounds, and lack of any visible stars.
Mm-hmm.
Why fake the landing? Theorists claim the United States sought not only prestige of the event, but also monetary gain.
And they had to beat Russia there.
In 2008, Adam Savage and Jamie Hyneman, stars of the hit TV show Mythbusters, examined several of the myths related to the moon landing. Upon conducting a variety of controlled tests, which with a team of scientists at a NASA training facility, they concluded that a conspiracy did not exist.
Of course they did. They were at NASA.
NASA puts little effort in debunking the claims, looking at them as ludicrous. However, they did, in July 2009, use a lunar reconnaissance orbiter to take a photo of the Apollo 11 landing site, which they say shows remains of the 1969 landing site.
Of course they say that.
Despite efforts to debunk the myth, conspiracy theorists stand by their claims.
You can't stand in front of the crosshairs etched onto the camera lens. I am sorry.
Did you watch the documentary they made on it?
I have watched several documentaries. Also, I saw that episode of the Mythbusters. And there was another show that we watched. What was it? Fact or Fiction? The Supernatural Files?
Yeah.
Where they proved definitively, with not much of a budget, you could fake all of that footage. Mm-hmm. Very easily. And then they turned around right at the end and say, but we don't think that it was faked. Of course they don't.
Cool to say that.
The men in the black cars got to them.
You got the Holy Grail here, buddy.
Oh, holy hell. Number 4, Roswell. Even if you don't follow conspiracy trends, chances are you've heard about Roswell, New Mexico. How could you not? With all the pop cultural phenomenon surrounding it and the countless sci-fi movies and TV shows that incorporated it into their storylines? On July 8th, 1947, the Roswell Army Airfield issued a press release which stated that they had recovered a crashed flying disc from a ranch near Roswell. The many rumors regarding the flying disc became a reality yesterday, with the intelligence office of the 509th Bomb Group and the 8th Air Force, Roswell Army Airfield, was fortunate enough to gain possession of a disc through the cooperation of one of the ranchers and the sheriff's office of Chaves County, said Lieutenant Warren Hott, public information officer. The flying object landed on a ranch near Roswell sometime last week. Not having phone facilities, the rancher stored the disc until such time that it was able to contact the sheriff's office, who in turn notified Jesse A. Marcel of the 509th Bomb Group Intelligence Office. Hott's statement caused an immediate media sensation, and later that day, a bold headline in the Sacramento Bee proclaimed, Army reveals it has flying disc found on ranch in New Mexico. A subsequent press conference was called, during which the military claimed that the crashed flying disc was actually a weather balloon.
Uh-huh.
To back up the claim, officials produced debris from the balloon, which seemed to strengthen their story. The military's explanation did not sit well with many people, including this one, including nuclear physicist Stanton Friedman in 1978. Friedman's interviewed Jesse Marcel, a soldier who had been involved in the recovery of the balloon. During the interview, Marcel said that the recovered debris he saw was not of this world. 11 years later, the claims gained even more steam when former mortician Glenn Dennis came forward and announced that alien autopsies had been conducted at the Roswell base. Unable to ignore the media hype, the Office of the Secretary of the Air Force launched an internal investigation into the Roswell incident. In a 1995 report, the agency announced that the weather balloon they had recovered was actually a high-altitude balloon that was intended to detect bomb waves from atomic bomb and ballistic missile tests. In regards to alien autopsies, a second report was later released in which officials stated that the alien bodies were actually those of dead soldiers and test dummies.
Mm.
Yes, because they often perform autopsies on test dummies! The confusion about the autopsies was blamed on psychological effects. Regardless of the government's attempts to debunk reports of the alien craft and autopsies, many UFO proponents continue to downplay the report, opting to believe that a cover-up still exists.
Yeah. Actually, I kind of want to visit Roswell during the UFO festival one year, like just road trip out there and just see the crash site.
Oh my god, that would be awesome. Oh, that's one.
Buy some irradiated Roswell sand.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that would be cool.
Number 3, acquired immune deficiency syndrome, AIDS.
AIDS.
There are a lot of conspiracy theories on this. There are multiple conspiracy theories floating around about the origin of AIDS. From For the sake of space, we will take a look at two of the most popular versions that have gained steam in the recent years. I want to break here for a second and say, what happened to AIDS? Remember, in the 90s and the late 80s, AIDS was all that anyone talked about. When's the last time you heard of anyone dying or getting AIDS or anything that wasn't in Africa that was being ravaged by it?
I swear to God, it got like eclipsed by like hepatitis.
Yeah, what about...
And the Kardashians.
What about Magic Johnson?
Yeah, what about Magic Johnson? He was diagnosed with AIDS decades ago. He's still around.
He was diagnosed with a precursor, but somehow he never got AIDS. And I know of one guy that was actually cured of AIDS officially.
Somebody has been officially cured of AIDS?
It was, I think they used a spinal tap or something to do it, but of course then he, I think, became a paraplegic because of the procedure.
I must have been down in the bunker when this news came out.
So, back to the story. In the first version, the conspiracy theorists claim that AIDS is a biological weapon that was created by the Pentagon. The theory goes on to claim that the Pentagon used it to deliberately control the population of lower-class citizens in the United States. To back up their claim, terrorists point to a paper trail that shows... Always follow the money. A paper trail that shows taxpayer money was set aside in 1977 for the creation of a biological weapon. The first reported cases of AIDS emerged in Africa in 1978.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidence?
I think not.
In the second version, the conspiracy theorists claimed that AIDS was accidentally created by a scientist who was working on a polio vaccine using chimpanzee kidney cultures that were infected with SIV.
Simian immunodeficiency virus.
Theorists say that as a result, a mutant variant of disease, AIDS, was created. Scientific consensus has rejected these and other conspiracy theories. The common belief among them is that AIDS originated in Africa during the 1930s.
I personally always thought it was a weaponized form of biological warfare targeted at the American homosexual population.
I've heard that theory too, and I'm surprised they didn't mention that in there.
Yeah, you'd think.
Yeah, I've heard it that it was a CIA weapon used to control minorities.
I've heard that as well.
So yeah, I just think it's weird that all that attention got focused on it, and then it just kind of went away.
It did. It just went away.
Nobody talks about it. No one has... Like,
when was the last famous person you heard of having AIDS?
Yeah.
Or when was the last time you met somebody that had AIDS?
Or when was the last time that there was like an AIDS benefit?
Last time I met somebody that had AIDS was the late 90s. Yeah. I have not heard of it since.
It's been cured.
I think cancer's taken its spot.
Oh, cancer's always been there.
I'm sure cancer was caused by the CIA as well.
I'm pretty sure I would, yeah. Definitely CIA.
Oh
my God, I'm glad I've got this one. I consider myself a semi-expert on this one.
A truther? You're a 9/11 truther?
Number two, September 11th. One of the most recent conspiracy theories involves the September 11th terrorist attacks on the United States. Some theorists believe the attacks were allowed to happen, whereas others think they were orchestrated by the U.S. government. Me, over here. It was on September the 11th, 2001, that four commercial passenger jet airlines veered off the normal flight paths and flew toward key locations in the United States. Two of the planes were crashed into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in the New York City, causing both buildings to collapse. The third plane crashed into the Pentagon building in Washington, D.C., and the fourth crashed in a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, all total, nearly 3,000 people lost their lives. Al-Qaeda terrorists have claimed responsibility for the attacks. However, conspiracy theorists are unsatisfied with those claims, believing something far more sinister happened that day. There are two main beliefs among the theorists. The first is that select members of the U.S. government had been warned about the attacks and ignored the threat, allowing them to happen. The second belief is that select members of the government orchestrated the attacks using remote control planes, demolition materials, and/or missile strikes. While the beliefs differ in how the attacks were carried out, the majority of the conspiracy theorists agree that the attacks were used to justify wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. In the months that followed, the then-President George W. Bush responded to what he called the outrageous conspiracy theories and said they only served to shift the blame away from the terrorists themselves, away from the guilty. Despite who you agree with, it is interesting to note that, to date, not a single individual has came forward to admit participation in any of the alleged conspiracy theories. That's because they were all paid off very well. Here's my belief. That plane that allegedly crashed in the field did not, in fact, crash in a field. All the passengers on that were given
whole new lives in a new non-extradition country. Their families were paid off, okay? They never showed that plane. They showed debris, which they could have gotten anywhere. The plane that allegedly...
They showed debris, because I don't remember there even being...
They didn't... No, they tried to pass it off. And just like with the plane that allegedly hit the Pentagon, you'd think a building that big would have cameras everywhere. Not one single camera got a shot of the plane. Even the shots of the big hole in the damn wall, there was no plane there. Nobody saw a plane. There was no frickin' plane. And to take it... Okay, and... The World Trade Center and a couple other buildings fell straight down. They didn't fall over. They fell down like a controlled demolition. There was people that reported seeing people working in the inner structures of those months beforehand. What were they doing? I say they were planting explosives on purpose. It's amazing that the U.S. government also sent all of their first responders out to do war games on that day, just out of the blue, way the hell away from everything, where they couldn't immediately get to any planes heading straight toward the tallest damn buildings that fell straight down. Oh, because their internal supports were burning. Steel does not disintegrate like that. You know how hot it would have to be to get all the steel supports to melt at the same goddang time? Insanely hot. We are talking supernova here. No, the government did that. You know why? They wanted cheaper oil. And look at our gas prices. Great job, W!
Wait, what was the price of gas in,
It was under a dollar before this happened.
September 10th, 2011.
97 cents. I would bet my ass on it.
Yeah.
I filled up for $3.50 a gallon the other day.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You know what they tried to, you know, they tried to justify that a couple years ago when it was only like $2.50 a gallon? By, in front of Congress, somebody said, look, here's a gallon of milk. It's about $3.50 a gallon. Gas is still cheaper than milk. Somebody countered very swiftly and very adequately by saying, yes, but do you have to buy 20 gallons of milk a week?
True. I don't ever buy a gallon of milk, so...
No, well, you're lactose intolerant.
And I'm paleo. I don't see...
Which, in itself, I think is a conspiracy theory by the government. They do stuff to that milk in the pasteurization process that causes lactose intolerance.
Oh, yeah, I legally bought unpasteurized raw milk from a guy in the back of his Prius one time in a parking lot.
It was just
a little
jug.
And I didn't get sick off of it. It didn't last as long. It only lasted a few days in the fridge before it sort of solidified and became curd or something.
Wow.
I mean, I still only had a little bit left. I mean, I drank most of my coffee. But, no poops. I actually drank a glass of milk for the first time in, like, 20 years or something. And it tasted good. Normally, milk has a scuzzy, funky film I don't care for.
It's the stuff they do to it.
Yeah, it's gross.
Yes. And we're down to number one on our list.
I've sort of gone back and forth on 9/11 myself. Originally, I was super anti-GW. And was sure that he was behind it.
Oh, I'm sure, but still.
Now I lean somewhere more, like, I'm sure the government was lying about stuff. I'm not sure to what degree, but what we've been told about 9/11, I'm sure is not the truth.
Oh, no, no.
I don't know how extreme it is. Some of the conspiracy theories are super far out there. But I definitely think that, A, the government is lying, and we do not know the truth. And they're not looking into it.
Watch all the videos. The videos that Osama bin Laden allegedly put out over that time. His age jumps back and forth during them. If they were released in chronological order, he actually got younger a couple of times.
Have you heard the conspiracy theory that the Bush family were friends with the bin Ladens, and the only people allowed to fly that day were family members of the bin Ladens to get them out of the country, so they weren't all noosed immediately?
I have not heard that one, but it makes perfect sense.
There's a lot of oh my God. There are some serious conspiracies with, like, the Bush family going back a couple generations, and
how do you like Osama bin Laden? We finally capture him. Yeah, we have no videos of it, no photographs of it, yeah. And he's buried at sea.
Yeah.
And there was supposed to be footage leaked of that.
No, there was footage leaked of them hanging Saddam Hussein, who, I might add, had nothing to do with this.
Yeah. What gets me is...
Afghanistan attacks us, let's kill Iraq.
What gets me is when they caught up with bin Laden and were like killing him or about to kill him, President Obama was on the golf course and they called him and there's like pictures of him like answering the phone and being like, I kind of think that people in the military were like, I kind of think Obama wasn't pulling the kill trigger on him, and that some of our boys in the field were like, fuck it, we found him, we're going to take the shot. We're going to have to mark this episode as explicit.
Oh, definitely.
So I think like he got the call and like ran back to the Pentagon, and I think some of our generals were like, meh, we already killed him, it's too late.
Possibly.
Because he's a commie. Obama's a commie.
There's part of me that believes that Osama bin Laden had been dead for quite some time before that, though.
I might agree with number one here. I think this might be the number one conspiracy theory in the history of conspiracy theories.
I'm going to introduce this one for you. Number one on our list of the top 10 conspiracy theories, the Kennedy assassinations.
There are countless conspiracy theories surrounding the assassination of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. For the sake of space, we will only touch upon a few here. First, the facts. On November 22nd, 1963, President Kennedy was riding in a motorcade in Dallas, Texas, when he was shot and killed. Roughly 1 hour later, Lee Harvey Oswald was arrested for Kennedy's murder. However, Oswald was not in custody long before he was shot and killed by Jack Ruby. There is no doubting that the incidents listed above occurred. It is one, it is the who and the how that the debate centers upon. Most theorists do not believe that Oswald was responsible for Kennedy's murder, and those that do believe he had help. Alleged participants involved in the assassination ranged from the American Mafia to the FBI and the KGB. Unfortunately, the majority of the witnesses who were present at the shooting cannot agree on where the shots were fired from, thus adding fuel to the theories that there was more than one gunman responsible. In addition to the numbers of gunmen, theorists also disagree on the number of shots fired and the location of the shooters. The motive? Well, that depends on what theory you subscribe to. Some say the murder was orchestrated because Kennedy wanted to bring an end to the Cold War, whereas others believe that he was killed because he supported the invasion of Cuba. A multitude of other motives also exist, all surrounding Kennedy's personal and political activities. In 2008, a team of experts assembled by the Discovery Channel recreated the assassination of Kennedy. In an attempt to determine where the shots were fired from, the experts used modern blood splatter analysis and new artificial body surrogates and a 3D computer simulation in their tests. I think I watched that, to be honest. Upon creating the mock-up of the crime scene, including all relevant landmarks, the experts were placed artificial surrogate of Kennedy in the car, which sharpshooters then shot at from the model depository, the grassy knoll, and other locations of interest. We might never know if Oswald pulled the trigger, but when you look at the wind pattern of the spread of debris, the angles of distance involved, it is consistent with a shot from the sixth floor depository. A computer graphics expert, Doug Martin, said in an interview with Discovery News, despite Discovery's findings, conspiracy theorists continue to dispute Kennedy's murder, minus the advent of time travel. This is one case that will most certainly be debated for centuries to come.
I still think it was the comedian from The Watchmen.
Yeah. Yeah, this one's a doozy. I mean, there are so many reasons for it to be assassinated. I'm really disappointed that this didn't mention the Manchurian candidate that Oswald could have been, that he was a sleeper cell agent, brainwashed, you know, triggered into doing it. A lot like the Batman movie shooter guy. Like, that one, I wrote about that one.
The Batman movie shooter guy? I'm not familiar with this.
The guy that went into the Batman movie premiere in Colorado.
Oh, wait, duh, okay.
Yeah, that guy. Like, his professor was involved in a, like, CIA brainwash program years before that. His college professor, like, there's just so many, like, things about that art, that story that's like, this kid had to have been brainwashed and, like, tricked into doing that, I think to push gun control rights and...
Yeah, whatever, I hope they fry his ass.
He needs to be.
Even if he was a brainwashed innocent, I don't give a crap. He says it was because of the Joker. Guess what? He dyed his hair red. What color is the Joker's hair? Green. Not only is he a mass murderer, but he's a fucking uninformed idiot.
Yeah. So, yeah, I saw the movie about 2 days after that, and I may or may not have somewhat illegally carried my pistol that I was legally allowed to carry into a movie theater that marked that you could not carry it. Just in case some fool tried to copycat his thing, I was going to take his ass out.
Oh, God, I hate those not allowed to carry guns into places, even if you... I mean, that's stupid. All that's going to do is prevent the people that can legally carry it from right. going in. The people... I mean, you think criminals are going to adhere to your sign?
Right. So, speaking of that, I just read a news report earlier that Georgia... The Georgia governor signed a bill into law basically saying if you are permitted to carry a firearm, you know, like if you have a handgun carry permit, you can carry anywhere.
Right. That only makes sense.
Right. That it supersedes everything else. If you have that permit, hospitals, schools, movie theaters, everywhere, you're now allowed to carry.
People seem to, the government seems to keep forgetting the Second Amendment of the Constitution and Bill of Rights, the right to bear arms.
Right.
I mean, that is a right. That is a God-given right to defend and protect ourselves and our families. But I think it's time, that really makes you feel like a man. Mm-hmm. It's time for our next survival sponsor of the evening. Our old friends over at Survival Gear Bags.
Right. When the shit hits the fan and you are on the run from our tyrannical government, where are you going to get your gear and your bags to carry all your stuff from?
Survival Gear Bags.
Yes. Kelly has the best survival gear bags that you can get your hands on, and he has a couple products for you to put in those bags. So when you need to rely on your bag, you need to go to survivalgearbags.com.
No, you need to go to survivalpunk.com and click on their banner.
Yes, and then go through and buy it from there.
Okay. And it's time for our survival gadget of the week. And I'm actually going to do the honors this week, my friend, because I have the perfect survival gadget.
Awesome.
Okay, and this is not a survival gadget that's made by any of our sponsors. This is a survival gadget that you need. Just so you can keep the man from knowing where you are at all times. If you haven't noticed, the surveillance revolution is happening all over the country. Everywhere you look, there could be a camera on you at any time. You don't know if you're ever safe. Those of you out there with your smartphones and your laptops and your tablets with your little camera port, how do you know they're not accessing you? You don't. They could be looking at you right now.
Actually,
our producer just waved at the NSA.
I was reading something. The NSA is turning on those cameras and watching you.
Exactly. That is my point.
Hey, if a crazy guy could do it and talk to that deaf baby, then who else could?
Right. First off, I recommend... I'll actually throw out a second survival gadget. It's called duct tape. Put a little piece over those camera ports when you're not using them. But my main survival gadget of this week, you don't want your face showing up on camera? Get yourself an LED ball cap. What in the name of God, man?
Go ahead.
The LED ball cap, it looks like any other ball cap. It's got your little rim and everything, but it has little LED lights. They might not look like much in the daylight. Most people wouldn't even notice them.
They're infrared, aren't they?
Exactly. When those infrared cameras, when those black and white cameras show on you, what do they see? They see a man whose head is glowing. Why? Because he's wearing a very nice LED hat that prevents the government, prevents Big Brother from looking at your face. You want to keep them off your trail? Go with one of these hats. Thank you. And now it is time for our game for this week. Welcome to our tinfoil hat episode of Mike's Worst Cases. Are you ready this week?
I am. I wish these could have been tailored even more, but we'll see what you have to throw at me.
All right.
And they're picked by me this time, so they're bad or bad.
All right. To those of you not familiar, I have a card game here all about worst-case scenarios. I take 5 questions, and our very own survival punk Sickwin has to try to get 3 out of 5. If he, survival punk James, that is, has to get 3 out of 5. If he fails to, he is severely punished. If he manages to succeed, he wins our very special prize for the week. All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Number 1. How to keep your computer secure. A.
Use the internet only between the hours of 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Eastern Time.
Ridiculous.
B. Install 2 layers of encryption software on your computer, one state-of-the-art and one that is outdated. Or C. Get a separate phone line for your computer and place a tap on that line.
None of them make a lot of sense, but I'll go with B. I'd rather run it through a proxy server and then encrypt my data and use a secure browser.
Ding, 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 you are correct, sir. B, install 2 layers of encryption software on your computer. Very good. Very good. Okay.
These cards are so outdated.
Yes, they are. This game is from 2001, so we're working on 13-year-old information here.
Oh, God.
All right. Now, as of 2001, what is the correct way to check your car for bombs? Do you A, look under the floor mats, between the back seat cushions, and in the glove box? B, look under the hood, inside the hubcaps, and behind the wheels? Or C, open your car door, then step back at least 20 feet for 15 seconds. Sit in the driver's seat for 15 seconds, then get out and wait again.
B.
Correct.
Check under the floor mats!
Under the floor.
That's where I hide bombs at, just in case you want to know.
Okay, you're 2 for 2 so far.
2 for.
Yep, 2 for. Okay, keeping with our theory here, how, in 2001, do you detect a letter bomb? Do you A, be wary of packages that smell like bleach or laundry detergent? B, be wary of packages that are uneven or lumpy, wrapped in string, or carrying excessive postage? Or C, be wary of a package if you feel any vibration.
Vibration. Obviously, I know that answer because of Fight Club, because they said most packages, because bombs don't tick anymore, they vibrate, but usually it's just a vibrator.
I'm sorry, but the correct answer in 2001 was B. Be wary of packages that are uneven or lumpy, wrapped in string, or excessive postage.
Wrong! Wrong! It's be wary of vibrating packages. I'm saying that one's wrong again.
Okay,
saw Fight Club. You remember the scene I'm talking about?
Yes, because, yeah.
Most bombs vibrate.
Throwers don't even check for ticking because modern day bombs don't tick. What are throwers? Baggage handlers. Nine times out of ten, it's a ladies razor, but every now and then, it's a dildo.
It's a dildo.
Okay, and let's see. So you are 2 for 3 right now. You only have 2 questions left. Let's see. Okay. How to fly safely to and from third world countries.
Interesting.
Do you, A, Chinese and Soviet made aircraft are the safest planes. B, military combat flights are very safe. If you can get on one, take the opportunity. C, avoid national carriers that are not allowed to fly into the U.S.
I'm going to go with B.
Military combat flights are very safe. If you can get on one, take the opportunity. I'm sorry. The correct answer back in 2001 was C. Avoid national carriers that are not allowed to fly into the U.S. Sure. Oh, we're coming down to it. It is sudden death. Oh, let me see. I kind of want to read you how to punch someone. Why not? I already read it out loud. Okay. What is the correct way in 2001 to punch someone?
The same way it's been for the past 10,000 years.
A, curl your fist tightly, aim for soft targets only, and throw your full body weight into the punch. B, make a fist but leave your fingers somewhat loose. Plant your feet and pivot your upper torso to deliver the punch and aim for the face. Or C, protect your thumb by curling your fingers over it, and aim for any vulnerable area.
Actually, I'm going to go with B, but you shouldn't pivot your upper body. You're pivoting your hips, and you're spinning into it.
I am sorry! The correct answer was A. Curl your fist tightly, aim for soft targets only, and throw your full body weight into the punch. You have actually lost this week's episode of Mike's.
These cards are raw. I learned how to throw a punch from reading Bruce Lee's book. Would you like me to punch you with Bruce Lee's technique? Or that technique?
I don't want you to punch me. You do CrossFit.
Which would you rather, if I was like, I have to punch you with one of these two techniques, that one, no, or the technique I learned from Bruce Lee that initiates the punch from your foot?
I would rather you use C, protect your thumb by curling your fingers over it. The first punch would break your thumb.
Let me punch you limp-wristed.
I'm sorry, but you have actually lost this week's episode, which means...
I hate those cards.
That you now get
the... The follow the car one. Do that one and then we'll be done.
What?
There's one that says how to lose somebody.
Okay, our producer is demanding that I read one more card.
Yes.
And you actually have a chance of pulling your bacon out of the fire this time.
Haven't I lost too many to even win?
You failed three. You only need, if you get this one, you can still possibly win.
Okay.
But there'll be an asterisk in the record book.
Okay.
How to lose someone who is following you in a car. A. Drive onto a highway and proceed erratically. B. Drive at or below the speed limit, carefully run red lights while heading for a police station. Or C. Drive home as fast as you can and blow the horn so neighbors are aware of the situation.
Oh, wow. I'm tempted to answer the stupidest one just to... Just because that's the way these cards are going.
Okay.
I'm going with A.
Drive onto the highway and proceed erratically.
Yeah, so you'll get pulled over and you can tell the cop what's going on. Seriously?
The correct answer was B. Drive at or below the speed limit, carefully run red lights while heading for a police station. The Hank Hill method of losing someone while driving you. Oh, he ran a red light. You can't do that. I'm sorry, but you've now lost.
I lost.
You only got 2 out of 6, which means you get our punishment for this week. You are not allowed to eat that peep.
You can go to hell. What's next on the board?
Okay, coming up next is this is my segment that I threw in here. It's Mike's How to Hide from Big Brother. We're all aware that the government watches us.
All the time.
All the time. You're not even safe in the toilet anymore, if you ask me.
Big Brother is watching.
And you may have found yourself way too much on their radar. What you want to do? Get completely off your radar. Now, here are several steps that I feel that you need to take in order to gain yourself your own new liberty, your own new freedom from the government, from Big Brother, from the camera's eye. First thing you want to do, now this is a several-step process. You're going to want to disappear. First thing you're going to want to do, start shutting down all your accounts. All your accounts. I don't just mean bank accounts, I mean every account. Everything except your social media accounts. Start clearing everything out. Cash everything out. Sell everything you can. If you have hard copies, tear them, shred them, burn them. Don't dispose of them in your own trash cans. Drive around town. Dispose of them in random public dumpsters. In individually wrapped bags. Make sure you're wearing gloves. You don't want your own fingerprints on these bags. In your social media account, keep telling everybody about this wonderful trip that you're going to be taking, where you're going to be moving to Alaska, moving to Canada, moving to Paris. Meanwhile, you're moving to the desert. Or you're moving to the tropics. Lead everybody in this direction, but you're going over here. You're going to want to hit the road after you've cleared everything out. Don't tell anybody when you're leaving. Tell them you're leaving 2 weeks from now and leave that night. Okay? Get yourself one of the handy LED hats. Make sure you're wearing it at all times. And hit the road. Cash in pocket. Keep in mind, no bank accounts at this point. Everything you own has got to be on you. Now, your first night, you're going to want some of the comforts of home, so you're going to drive for as long as you can, find some cheap, seedy motel, pay it in cash up front. Keep your eyes away from the cameras. Keep that hat on. Nobody can see your face. When you go in, make sure you bring your sleeping bag, because guess what? Beds are DNA sponges, especially hotel beds.
Yeah.
Take a black light in there and see what you find. So you're going to want the room because you're going to want the shelter. I would recommend sleeping in your car, but some people are going to want to stretch out. So sleep in your sleeping bag, not on the bed. On the floor. Leave early. Never touch your room key if you can avoid it. Always use your gloves. When you're eating out, always get to go. You don't want to leave your thumbprints or fingerprints on your glasses or utensils or your chili bowls or anything like that.
always get to-go cups. Guess what? When you're done with those, when that to-go stuff, burn it, dispose of it somewhere in a random public dumpster. Next, you're going to want to find some place where you don't know anybody. You don't know anybody that knows anybody you've ever known anywhere in your life. And get a job that's completely out of your comfort zone. If you were a lawyer, become a pool cleaner. If you were a doctor, become a janitor. Whatever. Go completely 180 from the life you used to know. Oh, and by the way, this would be a great time to legally change your name. And you want to change it to something that doesn't sound completely fake, but something that's pretty damn common. Like, I don't know, become Kevin Jones. Become
Juan Miguel Sanchez Villalobos Ramirez.
That one kind of is a little bit conspicuous.
That's my name.
You hang on to that delusion there, buddy. But you follow these steps, you are going to be on your way to avoiding the government. Yes, you may have had to leave your whole life behind, but guess what? They don't know where you are. Oh, and go with green energy. Start living completely off the grid. You don't want you don't want a light bill. You don't want a water bill. You don't want a satellite bill. Pirate everything. There's Wi-Fi out there if you have to get on the internet, but I would recommend that for at least a good 6 months.
Be like the guy from Red Part 1 that lived in his bunker in the swamp or whatever.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
All right, but that, I think, it was brief, but that will conclude my hide how to hide from Big Brother there.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, now it's time for, looks like our final sponsor out of the evening. The makers of the fine headwear that myself and the survival punk James have been sporting this week,
Reynolds Wrap.
Reynolds Wrap.
If you don't want the government knowing what you're thinking, wrap it.
Right. Like one of these very stylish sporting hats that we're currently wearing.
Mine's a 3-point one. It's like the Civil, like the Revolutionary War.
Oh, I just went with a Hershey's Kiss design.
Yeah, there you go.
Reynolds Wrap.
Keep your thoughts your own.
And it's time to just let you know out there, if you like what you're hearing and you got something to sell, sell it on our website. Sell it on our podcast. We are looking for new sponsors out there, and we'll be more than happy to sell your stuff to the public out there. Just hit us, find out. How do they get a hold of you? James@survivalpunk.com?
James@survivalpunk.com.
James@survivalpunk.com if you want to sell your stuff on
unless you're a commie. No commie advertisements.
Commies get charged quadruples.
They get shot.
Yeah, but we get their money first.
After I pay them in lead.
Yes. Okay, well, it is. We've moved on, and it's time for our celebrity invites of this week.
We have three.
Yes, for the first time ever, we're doing a threefer. I'd call it a three-peat, but we get sued.
Yeah.
All right, and this week our celebrity invites are going to be Randy Quaid, Jesse the Body, the Governor Ventura,
former governor,
and Gary Busey.
They all know what's really going on.
Yes, they do. They know what's going on. They know the secrets nobody wants us to know. I mean, for the love of God, Jesse, where does he live now?
He lives in a tent in the woods to keep the government from reading his thoughts or something.
Yeah, and he was in the heart of the government right there.
Yeah, which he ran the government. Really interesting. Like, I saw this thing where, like, he walked around and, like, he would go to, like, every day he'd go to, like, some different place. Like, he'd go to, like, the trash people and he would, like, walk around like, hey, I'm your governor. I'm Jesse Ventura. Like, he talked to everybody.
Of course he did. He used to be a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
He knew how to handle a crowd.
Yeah. I like Jesse Ventura.
And Randy Quaid, he knew about the conspiracy about the secret organizations killing off celebrities.
Yeah, he did. And Gary Busey, he just knows everything. That's why he seems so crazy.
Yes. I love Gary Busey.
Yes.
Yes, you all three of you have an open-ended, open-door invite onto Survival Punk Podcast at any point in the foreseeable or non-foreseeable future. Well, I think today has been a very enlightening episode. Do you agree?
I think we have opened so many eyes to what's really going on.
If there's not an episode next week, just know
we were droned.
Yes. We were droned. The black hats got us. I can almost hear them coming in the skies right now. So stay tuned for hopefully more episodes of SurvivalPunk.com.
And if we get locked up, the producer, Mike's wife, will promptly set up a fund to get us out of jail.
Yes.
Yes, throw us your bitcoins at survivalpunk.com to fund us getting out of jail.
Exactly.
Well, I think that'll about do it for this week. I'm Mike.
And I'm James.
And for survivalpunk.com, I just want to say, just keep looking over your shoulder. You know they're watching you. Even if they don't know they're watching you, you know they are.
Be safe, fellow patriots.